Today, we're continuing on with our camp series, and the subject of today is KP duty. I don't know if any of you have gone to camp before, but KP duty is essentially, it's kitchen patrol, and so everybody as a group gets together and they all have specific duties, and that is exactly what the church does. We all have specific gifts, talents, abilities, different things that God has given us. And it's our responsibility. In fact, the title of today's talk is Shared Responsibility. It is our job to come together as a group and use everything that God has given us individually to serve His kingdom, to serve the community that we have been placed in, Fresno. It is so important that we recognize that, because when there's a lack of that, the church, I don't know if you know this, but the church is a lot more than just this building. How many of you know that? It is the people that make a church. And when we are missing that vital piece that somebody might bring to the table, the church suffers because of that. Therefore, it's a shared responsibility. This week has been a very interesting week, not only because of the heat. It is the first week that Jenny Gathright, who had been the administration assistant here, is now on leave because she's preggers and she's about to pop. And Jenny, such a loyal, talented individual. And thank God that she lives right down the street, because there was many times I had to call her up on the phone today and say, how do you do this? How do you do that? I'm lost. I have no idea. What's the password to this? And she just writes it off like that. I mean, she is just so good. But it was rough. It was really rough, and Thursday was the culmination of that. I mean, there are so many things that go on, so many intricate parts, that if they don't get done, we don't get to experience this weekend gathering like we would. And thank God again for Jenny. But it's tough, because Jenny is such a unique and talented person when she's away. And I don't say this to make her feel guilty. There's a great reason she's having to take leave, and we're so happy. And, you know, in the future, hopefully she'll be able to come on back. But for right now, she's having to step aside, and we're feeling it in the office. In a good way, but we're feeling it. It's the same thing throughout the week of a church. If we don't have that unique ability that might make us better, we feel it. We feel it. I think of giving. So many of you I know already give, but there's somebody week in and week out that I see that is a consistent giver. And though she might not feel like it's a whole lot, Amy Roy always gives something every week. Let me tell you, it's got to be tough because she's looking for work. And how many of you know when you're looking for a job, it ain't easy. There's not much out there sometimes. And yet she is consistently faithful to be a part and give towards this church. So crucial. So crucial. And we have to recognize that there are so many gifts and talents that we are capable of using to build God's kingdom. We're going to be speaking today out of Matthew chapter 25, verse 14 through 28. So if you have your Bible app, you can go ahead and turn there. It's going to be up on the screen. But what I want to give you today, it was a little tough coming up with this talk, because how do I compass all the things that happen as a shared responsibility to make a church function? It's got to take a lot more than 20 minutes. So I just want to cover the essentials for you today so that you grasp that each and every one of us can be a part of the church in a powerful way. The first point I want to give you today, for that I'm going to give you three, is your eligibility isn't determined by your inability. Your eligibility isn't determined by your inability. Going to Matthew 25, verse 14, it starts off saying this: again, the kingdom of heaven, this is Jesus talking, by the way, again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. He then left on his trip. The first thing I notice about the scripture is this: who did that man give his money to? servants. Now, when I think of servants back in that time frame, I think of people who aren't exactly educated, who haven't necessarily accomplished a lot in life. In fact, they probably haven't done much. They've been enslaved their entire life and serving one person. And yet, this guy entrusted his finances to three people, all of which fit that criteria. They were servants. Personal story in my life that didn't happen too long ago. I was working at my last job, and some of you might know this by now. It was a network office, Assemblies of God, and I was just doing maintenance work. Again, my title was facilities manager. It was just janitorial work. But one of the people that would go through that office was the president of a church planting organization. And not only was this guy big in physical stature, but also he was a big player in this area of ministry. He was planting churches all over the U.S., and the office was bringing him in to help Southern California Assemblies of God start planting more churches. And I remember so vividly thinking, wow, this guy is big time. And every time he walked by me, he'd say hi. I thought, oh, that's cool. That's nice. You know, somebody who's a big player like that actually saying nice. And then eventually, after some time passed, he'd come up to me and say, hey, I'd love to have lunch with you. Sure. You got it. I just thought he's being nice. Eventually, though, one day he said, hey, I want to have lunch with you. Let's get a time. Let's schedule it tomorrow. Let's make it happen. I was like, sweet, let's do it. So we make it happen. The next day, I meet him, and we go out into the parking lot. And you got to understand, this guy knows people. And so he's got a friend who owns a car rental company. So there's a white convertible waiting outside, and we get in that bad boy. He's got the top down, and we start driving. Now, something I want to explain to you that maybe you don't know, maybe you do. The area that we're in is Irvine, Orange County. Something about Irvine. There are different areas within this small little community. And it kind of goes something like this. There's expensive, there's too expensive, and then there's I could work a million years and still never be able to afford this place. So we're driving around, and we start getting into an area that I have no idea. I mean, it is just ridiculous. And we stop at a restaurant. It's called something fancy like Seasons. I don't know. And we go on in. Not many people around. We sit down. It's kind of nice out. It's a lot nicer than it is out here right now, I can tell you that. And the server comes, very nice. She says, can I get you anything to drink? I'm like, water. I don't want to pay for anything else. And I start looking through the menu, and oh, my gosh. I'm looking at the items on this menu, and I'm not seeing items anymore. I'm seeing bills, all right? I look at the chicken. I see my grocery bill. I look at the pasta. I see my car insurance. There it goes. I see the steak, and there goes my retirement fund. I mean, it is just crazy. And so, you know, I order. I forget what it was. It was the cheapest item there, if you could call that cheap. And he orders whatever. And we start talking. He starts asking me questions about me. And the next thing, and I'll never forget this, he just goes right into it. He's a very blunt guy. Again, big, just blunt guy in your face. And he says, James, you're a servant. I've been watching you. And you just do things without even asking. And you know what? I need somebody like that. How would you like to plant a church? We don't know each other very well, Brian. I can't plant a church, dude. I have no experience. I haven't done anything. I've only been in ministry a total, from intern to actually having a position, like a total of 2 years. I'm not ready to be a lead pastor, let alone do the challenge, as many of you know, because you've been a part of the process here at The Quest. I'm not ready to plant a church. And he goes, trust me, we've got your back. Let's see this happen. I'm not going to make any promises. And then he followed up with this. I see something in you that you don't even see in yourself. Now, obviously, that didn't work out. God had different plans, and I'm so thankful for that. He brought me here to The Quest, and I am so happy because I really did not want to plant a church. But something that hits me from that story, and I have to consistently remind myself, is this. It's not about what I've done. It's not about what I can do. It's about what God has put inside of me, and I have to recognize that because that is where my value comes from. God has given me specific gifts and talents. The question is, will I use those gifts and talents for him? Going through into our second statement, choices overrule talent. Choices overrule talent. Continuing off of Matthew 25, back into verse 16. The servant who received the 5 bags of silver began to invest the money and earned 5 more. The servant with 2 bags of silver also went to work and earned 2 more. But the servant who received the 1 bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. Oftentimes, God is giving us, and just because I've said it, a convertible. And yet, what do? We park it in the garage, never to use it. Where's the fun in that? You can have all the talent in the world, but if you don't make choices, you're not going to get anywhere with it. As a church, when I see people, a lot of times, and I think this is somewhat sad, I see possible potential. I see what they can do. I know they've got it inside themselves, but yet it's never truly fulfilled. Why? Because they don't do anything. They sit on the sidelines. I see people who have the capacity to be generous, to use not only the gifts that God has given them as far as abilities, but their finances, because they know some things. They know how to make money. There are people who know how to make money, and yet they don't use it in a generous way. By the way, I want to point out, I am not singling out anyone here. I'm just talking in hypothetical terms, especially in past places that I have been. I just see that all the time, and I go, it's so disappointing. Because we can make incredible things happen as a church, as a body of Christ, and build his kingdom, and reach out to people who are suffering and hurting, and yet we stay on the sidelines. There are so many choices that we can make. But the most important choice is this, is letting God use you. A glove, just a normal work glove, all right? Now, if I said, glove, pick up that beach ball, what's it gonna do? Well, first off, I'm a nut for talking to a glove. But maybe it needs some encouragement, and that'll get it working. Glove, you can do this, I believe in you. Pick up the beach ball, make it happen. I know you can do it. Nothing. I know, I'm talking to a glove, bear with me. Maybe it needs to be discipled. I need to teach it how to pick up the beach ball. Okay, so you take it just like this, all right? Then you do this one, all right? Then you lift it up, all right? Yeah, okay, yeah, you got it, you get it? Okay, good, all right. Pick it up. It's shy. Needs other gloves in order to make this thing happen. It needs multicultural, ethnic relationships because, you know, it can't be alone. It's got to have friends. Otherwise, where's the motivation? I think you get the point. Unless we let God come into our lives and fill us completely, entirely, and make that decision to be used by him, only then can we pick up the beach ball and hold it and grasp it. The most important choice that you can ever make, it doesn't matter how many gifts and talents, finances, how successful you are, the most important decision that you can ever make is to say, God, I give you complete and utter control. And let me tell you, get ready for a roller coaster, because he's going to use you. Last point I have today is this. Your reward will depend on your investment. Your reward will depend on your investment. How many of you like rewards? Yeah. How many of you like getting that paycheck? Right. How many of you like getting that pat on the back saying, good job? Your reward will depend on your investment. One of the things that happened recently, me and my dad decided one day we're going to do a little experiment. We like doing things together. We're pretty close. I consider him one of my best friends. And we decide, hey, listen, you know, we've got some extra cash set aside. Let's try and play the stock market a little bit, and let's just see what happens. Let's do it together. And you know what? If we lose, we lose. No big deal. It's extra cash. I know that might seem a little frivolous with cash, but you know what? We wanted to make it happen. We wanted to try something. We were doing well. And so we end up finding a stock that he had heard about that would tend to go like this. It would go up and then down, up and down over a period of a couple years. We thought, let's give it a shot. So we take some money, make a joint account, and dump it in. And then we wait. It was fun. Every day, he'd be on his phone like, did you see PPHM? It went up a couple cents. You ready? We're going to get cashed out, man. You ready? And I'm like, dude, yeah, I'm ready. I want my cash. But, you know, a couple cents, that ain't going to do jack. So we wait over and over and over. This goes on. And finally, one day, I'm at home, He's at work. We worked together at that time. And he calls me up and he goes, dude, PPHM is way up. Do you want to cash out? And I'm like, I want more. But yeah, you know what? Let's not be greedy. Let's do it. Let's cash out. Made $3,000 apiece. The next day, PPHM went even higher. But I look at that, and I don't know what he did with his money. I know I got me a brand new TV, and I'm happy with that. It's nice. What I put in, though, is what I got out. And in today as a church, let me tell you something. Forget about me. Forget about the things that can happen. Focus internally for a second. If you never put anything into God's kingdom, what do you think you're going to get out of it? So many of us, and including me in this, we are so focused on this being our life, and we're so focused on the end of this, which is this portion, and yet God's kingdom extends out the door for eternity. That is the investment. When you take your time to volunteer in kids' ministry, that's what you're investing in, eternity. A child's life to be changed forever. The generations that will follow. When you invest your finances, not just in the day-to-day operations, although we're very appreciative, it's able to help us create a gathering that is conducive for people to come in and feel welcome. But when you give to outreaches, to missionaries, you're changing lives all over the world. When you invest your time to go over to somebody who's hurting and spend time with them, you're investing in the kingdom of God. And let me tell you, that investment never expires, never grows old, and it will always, always be worth so much more than you can imagine. Your time, your treasures, and your talents. What are you using them for? Kingdom of God. Finishing up in Matthew, it says, after a long time, their master returned from his trip and called them to give an account of how they had used his money. The servant to whom he had entrusted the 5 bags of silver came forward with 5 more and said, Master, you gave me 5 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 5 more. The master was full of praise. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. The servant who had received the 2 bags of silver came forward and said, Master, you gave me 2 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 2 more. The master said, well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. Then the servant with 1 bag of silver came and said, Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here is your money back. But the master replied, you wicked and lazy servant. If you knew I harvested crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it. Then he ordered, take the money from the servant and give it to the one with 10 bags of silver. If you could bow your heads and close your eyes with me. I want to end today with this. First, I always do this. If you have not yet accepted Christ in your life, if you want to make that commitment to have a relationship with him, or you maybe want to recommit your life to Christ, I want to give you that opportunity right now. The second thing I want to do is this. As it says in Scripture, don't waste what God has given you. I want to challenge you today. I want to see if you'll accept that challenge, that whatever God has given you, will you give more? If you are not serving somewhere, I challenge you, get plugged in somewhere this week. If you're not giving to the quest, your tithe, or anything for that matter, I encourage you, nay, I challenge you, try it. See what happens. See how God will radically change your life when you serve and you give faithfully your time, your treasure, and your talents. If that's you today, if you want to accept that challenge, will you raise your hand? God bless you. God bless you. You can put them down. God bless you. I love the quest, and I love what God has planned for this church, because we are going to do so many great things for God. Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you for a place that we can come and hear about you and hear what you have to say, but be as one where we use what you have given us to do incredible things in your name, whether that's serving kids, youth, whether that's discipling people, whether that's feeding the homeless, whether that's going out and helping widows who have nothing for themselves. Thank you for giving us the means to do that. Thank you for giving us the quest. Thank you for placing us in Fresno. We love you, God. Bless this church, bless this people. Protect them, keep them, watch over them throughout the week. In your name, I pray. And everybody said,